We're continuing our study in the 34th Psalm. In this Psalm, David has been giving thanks to God because of the great deliverance that God gave him when he was in a very troublesome time. The time, the title says, is when he went before Abimelech, the king of Gath, and there he saw that he was in a very dangerous situation. He changed his behavior. He acted like he was someone who was mad, and so the king deemed him as being someone that was fairly harmless, and he sent him away. And, of course, the sending away of David from that area was simply the saving of him from whatever dangers he was in from that king. So he's giving God thanks for this, and he's praising God. And as he continues to talk about this subject of God helping men in times of need, he addresses various groups of persons. In the 8th verse, he addresses persons in general. He says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." In the 9th verse, he addresses the saints. "O fear the Lord, ye his saints." Now, in the 11th verse, which is where our lesson begins at this time, he addresses children, the young people. He says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So now we're talking to those that are of the younger age group, those that would just be at the very dawn of their lives. They have the majority of their life yet ahead of them, and so this is the instruction to them. And we would like to say that it is most important that people who are in the very prime of life, whenever they're in their younger years, that they spend those years in service to God rather than to flaunt that time, rather than to spend that time in what is commonly known as sowing wild oats, in which they experience many, many different kinds of evils and sins. It's most important that they spend that time serving the Lord, that they remember the Creator in the days of their youth, that they do the things that God would have them to do while they're still young and vigorous and have a very alert mind and have the ability to change and mold their ways and their habits. It is such a waste to use these younger years, these most vigorous and formative years of our lives. It's such a waste to use them in the service of the devil, to have neglected and to have forgotten our God. Most persons who do this simply do not ever change. They do not truly repent of all of those sinful ways. And so it's not only a waste of that time, but it's a loss of their life and their soul forever, so far as salvation and service to God is concerned. This very same teaching is given in Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. There he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So it is a very well understood fact that the youth is one of the best times to remember the Lord. That's one of the times to serve God. It is certainly not in accordance with true Bible principles, with the teaching of God, to think that we can take our youth and squander that time, use that time for serving the devil, and then wait till the later years of life and then start serving God. That's a very, very poor way to look upon things, because it usually doesn't work out that way. You can squander your youth, but you're probably also going to squander the rest of your life too, because it's this youth time when your good habits and principles are set. This is whenever you're able to have control over yourself. This is whenever you can avoid many of the great problems and many of the great punishments that man has to go through with because of sin. Just simply begin at a young age and continue to serve God then for all of your life. So David is saying in this 11th verse, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. Listen to what I'm going to say unto you. I'm going to give you some instruction that's going to help you. Instruction that you need to take heed of while you're still young. I will teach you," he says, "the fear of the Lord." I'm going to teach you how to serve God, how to truly behave in such a way that your behavior then will be recognized as one who respects, who honors, who glorifies, who dignifies the Lord, not as one who degrades the name of God, not as one who is a shame to the church or a shame to the people of God, but one who is truly classified as one that fears the Lord. Then he says in verse 12, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" Now this is a statement, not a statement rather, it's a question given to appeal to the young. And generally we think of the early years of our life as being the time when we were just beginning a long span of life. At that time, it's most natural to desire life, to want to live, to have a lot to live for. This is not like the older person who's already spent his life. He's now ready to die. He now knows that he didn't have very many years left. Nature teaches him that. And so he is preparing to depart this life. He's not making long-range plans like the youth do. But what man is he that desireth life? It is a common thing for all persons to desire to live, but certainly for the young people. And loveth many days. Not only do you want to live, but you want to live to be a ripe old age. You want to see many days. You want to live to be an old age. Loveth many days, that he may see good. Now, he wants not only to live, not only does he want to live a long life, but he wants to see good during that time. He wants to have a good life. Well, he's instructing these young people to do what I say so this can happen to you. So you can not only live a long life, but have a good life while you're living. Now, that's really putting it all together. To have a good quality of life while we're alive. That's most important. That's a great blessing indeed. There are some who live, but they don't live very long. They die at a fairly early age. There are some who live and live long, but they don't see good during that time. They have a hard, troublesome, unhappy life, a miserable existence. That we want to try to avoid. But he's talking about living the long life, and then at the same time, seeing good. Follow David's advice to be able to see good during this long life. The Apostle Paul had this very same thing in mind when he was instructing children in Ephesians 6, beginning with the first verse. There he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Here's a command of God that if we keep it, we have a promise that goes with it. A promise that we can live long on the earth and that it may be well with us. This promise is given in the Ten Commandments back in Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. There it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So here's a promise that has two elements to it. First of all, that you may live long. And second of all, that it may go well with thee. Oh, what a blessing to be able to live a long life and to have things go well with us while we're living this long life. That's the promise. And it's a result of honoring thy father and thy mother, which is right. It's what the Lord has commanded. He's simply telling the youth to do the right thing, to do what the Lord has commanded. And of course, at that time when we're young children, the command is to honor thy father and thy mother. That's the command of God. And so it's what David is saying here. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? David's going to explain how to do this, to follow his advice. He's giving some advice now for how young people can live a long life and see good at the time that they are living this long life. And so it's not only going to be just honoring the father and the mother. It starts there, but then it's to continue to serve God all the days of thy life. To continue to be the servant of God even after you get out of that childhood state. That's how you keep having the long life in which you see good. So he's going to explain this beginning in the 13th verse. There he says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." To keep thy tongue from evil means to avoid speaking things that are not the truth. That is false doctrine. Anything that is a doctrine that is not approved of by God, anything that is a doctrine that comes from man, that is not compatible with the teaching of the Scriptures, then we should avoid it. That would be speaking evil. That's an untruth. It would also include ungodly sayings, thoughts which are opposed to the ways of God, thoughts that promote evil doings, thoughts that build up the honor and the glory of evil lives, evil acts. These would be ungodly thoughts. This would also include telling stories which cause the mind to dwell upon evil. Stories which play up the characteristics of sin and lust to the point that they look like they are honorable and glorious things to do, to the point that they are desirable. Having entertainment in this type of talking, this type of language. Keep the tongue from evil would also mean to avoid taking God's name in vain, using His name in a way that dishonors Him or does not show Him proper reverence. To speak evil would also include the slanderous remarks about others. We should avoid all these things with our tongue. The tongue is something that is so easy to lose control of. It's so easy to abuse. But yet the psalmist says that this is one of the ways that you can not only have life and have many days, but see good. This is one of the ways that leads to the good life. Controlling this tongue, keep the tongue from evil. And then he also says, and thy lips from speaking guile. Now, to speak guile means to deceive someone. This would include the telling of a lie or deceiving others with your speech some way or another. Anytime you use speech to be deceptive to someone else, then you have been speaking guile with your lips. And this is a sin. This is wrong. It's taught against very plainly here. It's one of those things that God does not want His people to do. One of those things that He places up there as a factor in whether or not you're going to have a long life. Or whether or not it's going to be a good life, even if it is long. Even a factor in life itself. And so it's most important that we have control over our tongue. These are the things not to do with the tongue. Anything that's connected with evil, anything that is deceptive or in the form of a lie, our tongue should definitely avoid it. The use of the tongue, the control of the tongue, is a very, very important item in our life before God. James gives some very important instruction about this and some ideas that I think we ought to not pass up at this time. In James, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 2nd verse, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." So there we have James' discussion about the use of the tongue. And so he tells how hard it is for this tongue to be controlled, what a great potential it has for wickedness, for evil, for condemning ourselves, actually. And he concludes in that 13th verse by saying something positive. If you're going to be wise, if you're going to be endued with knowledge, then show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Let the way you speak reflect the kind of works you have, the kind of a life you have. Let your speech reflect wisdom, a meekness of wisdom. You're not boastful, you're not proud, you're not haughty, but nevertheless the things you do say are well chosen things. They are words that are not spoken carelessly, are not words that are thrown around for the purpose of simply bragging or being a boastful person, but they are words that are designed to give forth with true wisdom, spoken in a meek manner. So there are negative things about the tongue, what not to do, keep it from evil, keep it from speaking guile, but then there are also positive things to show out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. David continues his advice to the young in the 14th verse. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now depart from evil. Evil would be anything that's contrary to what God wants. Vice, crime, sin, depart from it. Do not let this be your way of life. Do not let this be the activities you engage in. Do not let this be the path that you find yourself walking in. Depart from it. If you're in it, then get out of it. There's something to do. There's a change to be made. There's repentance to be accomplished here. Depart from evil. But not only do we leave ourselves in a negative state of not doing the things that are bad, but then we also add those positive things to our life because he says, and do good. Whatever you're doing now that's wrong, do something in the place of it that's classified as good. Depart from evil and do good. And of course, we know this is the great summation of all the teaching in the Bible. We stop doing the things that are bad and we start doing the things that are good. Whatever we are instructed by God to do, whatever is appropriate for a Christian to do, whatever kind of activity that would be the proper kind of activity, that's considered doing good. And we could name many, many things that would be coming to this classification of the activity of doing good. Then he further says, to seek peace and pursue it. To seek peace. Now, this means you're going to be acting in such a way as to not provoke controversy or some kind of violent activity, something that's going to destroy peace, but you're going to be walking along the lines that's going to be seeking after peace. You want to promote and bring about a peaceful state. Seek it. When you seek it, then you are going to find it. And then pursue it. Once you find it, pursue the course that tends to keep things in a peaceful way. Now, you know, this subject of peace is a very, very important item among humans. We all have a great need for peace. Even those who know not God have a need to have some kind of peace. The great objective of most nations is to be able to seek after peace and have peace. Although they don't know how to find it, they usually don't have peace, they still claim to seek after it and to want it. It's one of the great needs of man. Those nations that do not seek peace, those persons that do not seek peace, usually come to a violent end. They usually do not last over a long period of time in that state of not being a peaceful type of person or a peaceful nation. So the instruction here to the young by David is to seek peace. Do the things that are going to promote peace. Pursue these things. Pursue peace. Now we know that the New Testament teaches us very plainly that grace and peace are to be found in God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only place we can really find true peace, is in God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. We do not find it any other way. We can have all the wisdom of this world. We can have all the knowledge of this world. We can have all the high degree and honor that man can heap upon us. But nevertheless, true peace comes from knowing the Father and from obeying His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to really have peace and grace. That's the source of it. That's where it's found. And we're told very plainly where it's found. Paul begins each one of his letters, with the exception of the book of Hebrews, with the statement of grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need these items. We need peace. It's a very important thing. We need to study about what it takes to bring about peace and study about what kind of activity destroys the peace. What should our actions and our motives be in this earth as we carry about our duty and our position in life regarding the keeping of peace, the seeking it and pursuing it? Well, David says this is the way to have long life and have good life. And as we know, it is the peaceful kind of a life that promotes the long life and promotes the good life. The violent type of a life, the life in which we're always opposed to someone and causing some kind of a brawl or a confrontation, that doesn't lead to long life. It doesn't lead to good life. So he says, depart from evil and do good. seek peace, and pursue it. Now that David has given this instruction to the young, it seems that in this next verse, verse 15, he begins to give instruction to the righteous in general, how that God will protect the righteous. And so he says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Not only is it going to be a beneficial thing for the young to do what he says, but of course that's beneficial for everyone of every age to do the things he's given here to the young. But now he turns to all, and he shows how that the Lord really is going to give good life and long days to those that are his followers, regardless of age. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The Lord is aware of those who are righteous. He's watching them. He's protecting them. He's giving them his beneficial presence. His eyes are upon them. His ears are open unto their cry. When they cry, the Lord hears them. He understands. He responds. He is aware of whatever their predicament may be. And of course, this is a very, very great blessing for us. Just to know that this great being is aware of our problems and is able to give us help is a blessing that is beyond description. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.